This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
We continue. This is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a man that just wrapped up his rookie season with the Washington Commanders, and he's here with us today on behalf of Panini, and that, of course, is Brian Robinson Jr. Brian, appreciate the time. How you been?
Hey, man. How you doing? I'm good.
Well, I'm doing fantastic, and I appreciate you coming on. A lot of people were rooting for you this year with, unfortunately, what happened in August, in late August when you got shot. And it was remarkable how quickly you were able to return to the field. Just with the rookie season now over and you have some time to reflect, how do you look back on everything you went through in this season?
Well, you know, with the start of it, obviously, unfortunate circumstance where I started. But I'm just, you know, blessed to be able to, you know, get back out there on the field and, you know, show, you know, everybody, you know, my potential. You know, there's really no ceiling for me. I'm going to get better next year, but just to be able to get back out on the field and, you know, just get back out there and compete and just play ball again, man. It's just great, you know. And, you know, we ended up having some success this season. We had, like, seven-game win streak within that span, you know, within around my return. And, you know, one game away from making the playoffs. And, you know, so it was really close this year. So a lot to look back on and, you know, fix and come back, you know, come back and fix next year and, hopefully we get to the playoffs. I feel like we, you know, we got the potential to do it. You know, with just a few, you know, pieces we, you know, we can focus on this off season, and, you know, we're gonna come back stronger.
I love the scene when you were running onto the field for your first NFL game in the regular season, and you picked many men. How did that come about? Because that was awesome.
I mean, if I'm being honest, that wasn't my idea. You know, I'm pretty sure somebody, you know, creative behind the scenes, you know, thought of the idea. You know. And they played it, you know, and it was right on time, you know. It kind of, you know, it kind of matched the situation and, you know, that was going on. And a lot of people was excited about that, you know. You know, even 50 Cent, you know, reached out to me and, you know, just, you know, showed me some love and just told me, you know, it don't stop nothing, you know, you just keep going. So, like, you know, just with, you know, that song, you know, playing in my return, you know, it just, you know, brought a lot of attention to me and a lot of people, you know, just, you know, respect me and my situation.
What were your emotions like running onto the field for the first time as a pro?
I mean, it was bittersweet, man. Like, a couple months prior, you know, to, you know, running out there, man. Like, you know, my career was questioned, you know, just based on, you know, unfortunate circumstances, like I said. But just to be able to come back out there and, you know, receive all the love, you know, from the fans and my team and, you know, my family, everybody, you know, just, you know, that helped me, you know, get back on my feet and get back out there. You know, it was a blessing to do that.
Brian Robinson Jr. here with us. Were you surprised you only missed four games? Because I couldn't believe how quickly you got back on the field.
I mean, once I started feeling better, you know, they told me, you know, four games, I guess, for the non-injury football list, whatever the deal they had me on, I had to miss a minimum of four games. So I was kind of surprised by the time the fourth game was over that I, you know, felt good enough to, you know, come back out on the field and actually play. So, you know, it was tough, you know, recovering, but, you know, it was all worth it. Yeah.
Brian Robinson Jr. here with us. You had a very successful rookie season. What do you hope to improve on individually coming up this offseason?
I mean, I wish to improve on, everything as far as this. I feel like that's another reason I'm just glad I came out and played, just to give myself opportunity to get the experience of the game speed and just, where I can, come back next year and just had that year under my belt where I, got a chance to go out there and compete, compete against, top-tier defenses and teams. And now I know how to, what to study on film and, how to prepare against teams and, where, I need to attack and what the focal points I need to focus on to be as dynamic as I need to be as a running back. And, as hard as it is to do this, to stick out or stand out at this level, we still got to find ways to, try to, take advantage of, our opportunities against our opponents.
I like the skill position players that you guys have. Clearly yourself, Brian Robinson Jr. I'm a big fan of Antonio Gibson, who's also in that backfield. And then we know the receivers with Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. It seems like you guys got a really special group of young players in this league.
Oh, yeah, man. And I feel like we're starting to develop the culture needed, in the locker room, and the guys that we have, like the guys you just mentioned, and how we prepare, how we approach everything we do, like professional, like we want to win football games. And I feel like as long as we continue to focus on, bringing in and, having those type of guys around in the locker room and, focusing on those type of, getting those people on the field, man, I feel like we'll be a lot better. We'll continue to make progress and positive strides.
What did you see out of Sam Howell in that last game where you guys defeated the Cowboys?
I mean, I seen exactly what I believe Sam could do. Like, I always believed in Sam's potential, like, all year. I at no point did I believe that, if Sam got an opportunity that he wouldn't be ready for it. And I was so happy to see him get it, opportunity against, the Cowboys last game, and he went out there and showed, everybody, exactly why Washington drafted him, and that was something I also already, kind of knew, he had the potential to do, and it was just good for him to kind of get that light flashed on him one time before the season ended.
So you tell me what you see since you're in the locker room with him each and every day, or almost each and every day. What makes you think that Sam Howell could have a lot of success in the NFL?
As far as how he approaches, his business, you can tell, it's serious, it's important to him. He's passionate about the game. He's passionate about how he prepares and his work ethic, is, great. And I feel like, as long as he continue to, focus on the things he needs to do to keep improving, he'll continue to, take those positive steps.
So would you like to see him be the starting quarterback next year?
I wouldn't mind, if that's a decision the coach made, like I told, I always, respond with that. Like, the coaches, make those decisions. Like, they make decisions between Carson and Taylor, and I have to be, as a starter, I have to be okay with whatever they decide to do. If I played in the last game versus Dallas and they still started Sam, I would still have to be okay with that. That's not my decision, so I got to be okay with whoever they decide to put in at quarterback. But I wouldn't mind seeing him, as the starting quarterback. I feel like he got all the potential to do it.
With that being said, you guys really seem to gravitate around Taylor Heinicke. Was it tough to see him get benched for that game up against the Browns?
Well, yes, in a sense it was, because how hard he had worked, for his opportunity, even though, the ups and downs, he still, worked hard and, won games for us, and felt like, we did, turn away from him fairly fast, when he made mistakes. But it was just critical times in the year. It was a critical time in the year where emotions, like really, become a fact, and just everything we do, really, and we want to, I guess, everybody try to, be tightened up on the decision making to try to give us our best opportunities, and sometimes it works out for us, sometimes then it just didn't work out for what we had planned for benching him. But, I feel like, he'll be all right for me. He'll come back for me.
Brian Robinson Jr. here with us. You had a lot of quarterbacks at Alabama that had a lot of success. Let me start you off with Jalen Hurts. Does it surprise you at all what he's been able to do this year? Because he's playing like an MVP and now is 60 minutes away from going to a Super Bowl.
Don't surprise me at all. Since the time I came in and met Jalen at Bama, he's always, had it in him. And I felt like people started to kind of doubt him just due to the competition he was up against. That never, kind of dried down his potential. He always had the potential to do it regardless of, him, getting benched at one time at Alabama. And, he transferred his last year, Oklahoma, broke records and Heisman finalists and continued to prove his doubters wrong. And, I couldn't be more happy for him, and I would love to see him, play for the whole thing. I would love to see him win the whole thing, because, that's a real good friend of mine. We had a good friendship at Bama, still does, and, wouldn't be no better for him to see one of your good friends win Super Bowl as a starting quarterback.
I think a lot of times in sports we forget about the human element of it, and health and safety obviously is such a big importance in life. As you know, Brian Robinson Jr., to see what Tua went through this year, it was scary just watching it from my couch. I just wish him nothing but the best. How did you react to, unfortunately, seeing what Tua had to go through this year with all the concussions?
I really hated to see that with Tua. Like I said, another one of good friends of mine. I had a real good connection with Tua. Alabama, and I hated to see what he went through this year, and I know what type of competitor Tua is. He'll fight through anything if you let him, and it was tough to just see the head injuries. That's critical in this game, and that can really affect your career. In a real, very fast, really, you can get your career ended off head injuries. And he got, so much potential. He's a great, player when he's healthy. He's spot on. And, I just hate to see, the concussions and the head injuries, kind of take him out of the game and just have him, just in pain from, his brain. This is tough. This is one of the toughest, injuries, of them all, in your head. That can end you before anything. And, I would hate to see that, happen to one of my guys.
We'll talk about Panini in just a second before we let Brian Robinson Jr. run. You also played with Mac Jones and know him also very well. What do you say to people that are doubting Mac Jones and are unsure what he could do in the NFL?
For the people that doubt him, they can continue to do that. Joker, I call him Joker, because exactly what he is. He one of those type of people. He stay quiet, take in all the, hate, let people count him out, and he'll show you, every reason why you shouldn't have. He has a very high ceiling. He has some injuries that's kind of, pinched him away from, just getting where he's been trying to get these past 2 years. But I feel like, in the coming year or two, maybe, he'll turn around and show everybody exactly why they should have never doubted him.
Tell me about the fine work you're doing today with the folks at Panini.
Oh yeah, we just out here, signing in LA, Los Angeles, signing our rookie Panini trading cards right now.
And you can get NFL trading cards at Walmart, Target, and hobby stores nationwide, and you can also start collecting your favorite NFL rookies as NFTs on the Panini America platform at PaniniAmerica.net. I got to ask you, Brian Robinson Jr., who were some of your favorite players when you were growing up as a kid? Who did you look up to?
Just growing up in Tuscaloosa, obviously, the few, Bama boys that came through, like Mark Ingram, Trent Richardson, Julio Jones, Javier Arenas, all those guys. Off of that team, probably guys like Devin Hester, Reggie Bush, legendary guys, come through college. Those are my guys.
What was your favorite Saban story with your time with him at Alabama?
Favorite Saban story? Oh, that's a good question. I would just say, you know, if I could get one off about Saban, you know, people really don't know Saban. Saban, the coolest guy ever, man. He, you know, he got more personality than people think. You know, he find a way to, you know, get his laugh off every day, even if you got to say something crazy about you. But, you know, real good man. I got a lot of respect for Saban and the help and the job he did with me in my career. Couldn't be more thankful for Mr. Saban.
Well, really appreciate you doing this today. Good luck, and have a great year number two. We appreciate you doing this today.
Yes, sir. No problem, man. Thanks.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.